Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's kick off with Dr. Irshad Mohammed. Thanks for joining us on such short notice. You just became part of a conversation because we were talking about sunblock, how important it is. And Mukundi, my sound engineer, said, but hold on, I was told because I'm a black person, I don't need to wear sunblock. So we thought we'd get the expert in. Thank you for doing so. How are you today?
I'm fine, can't complain. To get straight into it, regarding sunblocks, if you look at dark-skinned patients, or dark-skinned people for that matter, they would probably confer to themselves by virtue of their skin color an SPF of somewhere between, say, 5 to about 7, naturally and innate within their skin.
Right.
However, with the sun exposure that we currently have in our environment, especially on the African continent, it doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't additionally protect your skin from the sunlight. And here are the reasons why. One may argue and say, well, skin cancers and sun-induced skin cancers are far more prevalent amongst whiter skin patients. So Fitzpatrick types 1 and 2, maybe type 3. However, darker skin patients do get skin cancers as well. So that's the first point. The second point is that when it comes to aging, usually ultraviolet light type A is the one that will actually accelerate your aging process. And as a general guide, your ultraviolet B will tend to burn you.
Right.
So there is still benefit in you using a sunblock that has an ultraviolet A and an ultraviolet B blockout, even though you may be having a darker colored skin.
Right.
The third point is that there are certain types of pigmentary disorders that are a lot more common and prevalent amongst darker skin patients. For example, conditions like melasma, so amongst Asian and African patients, tends to be quite common. Mm. And this presents itself like a map-like or a geographic coastline map, type of pigmentation that occurs over the cheeks and over the forehead and the central part of the face. This tends to be far more common in patients, and it may occur in pregnancy, and it may be associated with the use of certain types of contraceptive pills. Now, ultraviolet B tends to be, or blue light, tends to be a lot more triggering towards the skin to produce more pigment. And these people tend to battle with treating their pigmentation. So it's no point you trying a pigmentation treatment, going for fancy lasers chemical peels and procedure treatments, and using expensive vitamin A's or over-the-counter items to try to deal with this, if you are not preventing it, is pushing on the pigment production. So you have to remove or break down pigment, but at the same time also reduce pigment production. So that's another reason for you to need to use sunscreen. Then there are a group of patients, for example, who may respond to certain types of sunlight triggers. So certain types of medication may not give you a drug reaction. However, when you add light to that particular medication, which you may be taking orally or even applied onto the skin, the sunlight activates that particular medication and then may give you a photoallergic, so light allergy, or a phototoxic drug reaction. So commonly anti-inflammatories, anti-hypertensive medication, diabetic medication. So there's another reason for you to be using your sunscreen. I think it is quite a misconception that patients of color should not be using sunscreen.
Dr. Mohammed, just hold on 1 second while I shout at Mukundi. Did you hear that, Mukundi? Did you hear that now? You go and you put on sunscreen. All right, sorry about that. I it just needed to be said. You know, I apologize.
Innately and naturally, especially in the rural areas, I think for people who've been traveling through the rural areas, you'll notice that municipal workers who work out in the sunlight have this tendency of using a reddish colored clay that they may have, that they may apply to their face.
Right.
And this is common amongst black African patients.
Mm.
And that, although may appear cosmetically unacceptable to most,
right,
that actually confers to the individual an additional SPF of about 10 to 15.
Wow.
So there certainly is a benefit in blocking out the sunlight onto the skin.
Right.
People were arguing in the past that sunscreen companies were mainly making sunscreens with a whitish or a grayish tint in it, which is usually titanium dioxide, or which reflects the sunlight. The sunlight.
Right.
And for a darker skin patient, it's unacceptable from a cosmetic point of view to apply it because you look like Snow White.
Right.
But that is all changing in the past couple of years. Many, many sunscreen companies are now becoming cognizant of the fact that there is a need for sunscreens for darker skin patients. And they are coming out with ranges that are a lot more cosmetically acceptable for darker skin patients. So really, there is no excuse for you not to be using a sunscreen. If you've got money for only one sun care product, or only one skin care product, you should actually invest that into a sunscreen.
That is very, very interesting. And it's interesting as well, because it's probably not the first. If people do have money for one skin care product, it wouldn't be sunscreen, but it should be. Because that's conferring not only visual aesthetic protection, but also very important health benefits.
Absolutely, I think especially in a South African environment where we, being South African, we are almost always out in the sunlight. Whether it's a rugby game, a cricket game, a soccer game, surfing, beaches, braais all
right,
the time.
Absolutely,
we are always we are just a naturally outdoor nation. And the thing is that we need to protect ourselves from the sunlight. No one says don't interact with the sun. What we're saying is that should you go out, be responsible, and there are many, many benefits from protecting yourself with common sense when you are exposed out in the sun.
Well,
and a sunscreen certainly is something that would be universally applied across all skin types.
Mm. And in fact, just to add to that as well, people who are follically challenged, i.e. bald, like me, also has additional challenges, because our scalp can get quite burnt.
Absolutely. There's been quite a few studies to show that in male patients who are follically challenged, there is a high incidence of the development of pre-skin cancers, usually on the scalp.
Right.
So it's this vague, crusty-looking, sandpapery feeling, a scab that may develop over the area. And the easy way to go about doing that, yes, one would be a sunscreen. And secondly, again, common sense, a hat or a cap.
Absolutely.
Preferably a hat, which would cover the nape of the neck and over the top of the ears as well. So sun protection certainly is something that is becoming a lot more popular these days. I generally don't blame previous generations, because the information was not out there.
It wasn't available.
We didn't have shows like these. We didn't have smartphones with information in our hand. So, yes,
well, one of the images I have,
one
of the images I have of my late father was sitting on the beach, glistening in sun protection too, but really what he wanted was the oil, as he sat baking on the beach, with absolutely zero sun protection, and it was considered pretty much okay because he had sun protection number two on, which was effectively oil.
There's many reports from people in previous generations who'd use things like hair styling gels to essentially, when you apply an oil, you're heating the oil, and thereafter you are incurring a thermal damage. So not only are you having an ultraviolet damage to the skin, you're also incurring a heat or a thermal damage to the skin, which also reduces the skin's ability to heal from those insults. So you photo-age a lot quicker, and then you also develop cells that are trying to repair themselves, but because of the onslaught, they can't do so properly. And it is those aberrant or misbehaving cells that result in the pre-cancers, which eventually evolve into the skin cancers. So the habit or the practice of lying out in the sun completely unprotected, so without a sunscreen, is certainly frowned upon. And there's certainly a difference between a sun tanning lotion and a sunscreen. A sunscreen will prevent you from incurring the damage from the sunlight, whereas a tanning lotion is intended to change your color. Now, there are certain self-tanners that you can apply, which do not require sunlight activation, which you can do indoors. That's fine.
Mm.
And the reason being is that induces or triggers the enzyme that naturally produces color to go into overdrive temporarily. So you would go a few shades darker.
Right.
And there is some sort of psychology behind showing off a tan. And the reason why people want to show off a tan is that if I'm tanned, I was out in the sun. And if I'm tanned and if I was out in the sun, I most likely was on some sort of recreational activity or a holiday.
Right.
So the deeper my tan, the longer I was on a holiday.
Right.
The longer I was on a holiday, the less I had to work, and therefore it may be perceived as a sign of affluence.
Oh, very, very interesting.
So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is that being out in the sun, certainly ultraviolet light, whether in a tanning bed, which we frown upon again,
mm-hmm.
whether in a tanning bed or out in the sunlight, what it does is it actually releases happy hormones. So the endorphins and serotonins are increased in the body, and it gives the individual a feel of well-being. And that is also the reason why sun worshippers or sun tanners will repeatedly expose themselves to the sunlight, or would repeatedly jump into a tanning bed. It's because from a neurochemical point of view, it makes them feel better.
Very, very interesting. Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. Dr. Irshad Mohammed, thank you for your incredibly generous knowledge, sharing your generous knowledge with us and with bringing us all of that information.